Welcome to the Alternative Property Management Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Renty and the PMC, hosted by David Faulkner, Harrison Bourne, and Will Alexander, all bringing a wealth of expertise, insight, and different perspectives into every episode. This podcast is powered by Renty. Less hassle, more living.
Kia ora, everybody. Yes, we are back. The Alternative Property Management Show is back for its third season by popular demand. I'm David Faulkner, General Manager of Property Brokers, Property Management, and the MC for the PMC 2024. I'm again joined by Will Alexander from Bailey's. Kia ora, Will. How's things going?
Yeah, good, mate. Good to be back. I can't believe it. Here we go again.
Yep, and we've got Harrison Vaughan from Tommy's Property Management.
Yes.
He's down there in, what's it called in Harry Potter? What's this castle called again? God, I can't remember. I've got a name. But anyway, it's
Hogwarts.
Hogwarts. Yes, you're down there at Hogwarts in Wellington, aren't you?
Yeah, sitting in my big castle.
I tell you what, if Elon Musk and Harry Potter could have a child, that'd be Harrison Vaughan. That's my opinion on things.
Bloody hell. Yeah, I think you need to listen to biology, Dave.
He's got a lot of kids, so it could well be true.
Cool, wouldn't it? Yeah, that would explain a lot. Anyway, we're back for a third season.
Have we still got people listening to us, Dave? We still got followers after two
seasons?
We've
got followers. We've actually got quite a few reviews. We've got Renty back for sponsoring us again. So we're thrilled to have Renty back on board. And we're very excited about the conference. We've got the speaking announcements are going to come out this week. So we're going to have the whole agenda will be published on the website. It's on the 10th and 11th of October at the Takina Event Centre in Wellington. We loved it there so much. We're going back again. But Annie, what have you been up to since we last spoke at the conference?
Oh, well, like you say, I've been sitting in my castle down here in Wellington, pretty much just running and dominating the property management industry. I wish. It's quite interesting here in Wellington, obviously, because we had the election,
Wait, what?
And because it's quite interesting, National have obviously now in. Most of us like National, you know, from a property perspective. But Wellingtonia, it's not very good for the Wellington market in terms of property because a lot of people lose their jobs. We've had about 1,000 or 1,500 or so made redundant last week in a bunch of industries. And it trickles down to our industry because a lot of these people are in rental properties in the city. And if they can't find a job and the job market's not that good, they bugger off. So it's been very quiet for us down in Wellington, unfortunately. Taking along slowly. How about you guys?
We can talk about that in other topics later on.
Yeah.
Will, what have you been up to? You've been dominating Australia by the looks of things.
We don't have the same issue as Harry down there in Wellington. We've got lots of people looking for rental properties up here in Auckland. But yes, no, Bailey's is in the process of acquiring McGrath Real Estate, which is over in Australia. It's a publicly traded company, so it's getting delisted as part of the acquisition process. But it's very early days. It's really exciting to be on this end of an acquisition of that scale. And you know, typically we're kind of used to Australians buying New Zealand businesses, but it's exciting to turn that around a little bit. And McGrath is a business that has been around for a long time. John McGrath is a good friend of my mother's, actually. Awesome business. And I think, there's not too many plans with rebranding or anything like that, I don't believe, at this stage. It's just learning from each other and sharing secrets and top tips and supporting each other's business to become better. That's, I think, ultimately what the most exciting part is. Amazing operators, more perspective. It's exciting.
God, it sounds like an exciting adventure. I'm a bit jealous, to be honest. I wish I was there.
We're off to Arak next month. Are you going along to that, Will? Are you going to Arak?
I don't think I am, actually. No, I've got quite a bit going on here.
That would be too dangerous for the Gold Coast for all three of us to be there, surely.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. But no, look, at this stage, no. I'd love to go to Arak. Never been, but definitely on the cards at some stage.
Yeah, well, John McGrath does that, doesn't he? He's behind the whole Arctic thing. So it'd be interesting to hear what he has to say about that, because I'm sure it's going to come up, because he basically MCs half of it with, what's his name, Panos, Tom Panos? Yes. Anyway, but there you go. And we've also got another guy with us today, another guest. He actually, last year, he used to do the intro and the outro for the show, but we're changing it this year. Drake Farmer from Renty, how are you doing, mate? It's good for you to join us for this chat, and thanks for, you know, being a part of the show again for 2024. Great to have you on board.
I am absolutely honored. Can I take a moment to just say thank you guys so much for having me on with you? It's an absolute honor. I love and respect each one of you, and all three of you have had a big role in my journey in the industry so far. So thank you guys for having me on. I'm, again, a bit starstruck, actually, to have the three princes of property management in front of me.
God, the three princes
of property management. How much do we pay you to say that, Drake?
Jeepers. I'm feeling bloody good about life right now. This is awesome.
And how was life at Renty, mate? What's the goal with you guys? You've had a bit of a rebrand as well since we've this time last year.
Yeah, it's moving quickly over here, I'll tell you that. We've just moved into a new fancy office. We're growing. It feels like we're hiring a new person every week. I think there's two new job ads going up this week. So yeah, things are great. Moving along quickly, just trying to keep the wheels on. As we grow.
Yep, good stuff. Anyway, well, Will Alexander's he's got the topic this week, and Will, what are we going to be talking about?
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking about AI, which is very topical at the moment. You know, it's a term that's getting thrown around all areas of real estate and all areas of life. And, you know, it's come up recently several times within Bailey's and just talking to people around the country. And I have a very sort of set view on it, I suppose. But struggling to get my head around how it can be applied to our industry. And I'm just excited to talk about the topic and to debate it and you know, to personally try and get my head around what it could look like. I actually wrote a letter to myself in 10 years' time. So in 10 years' time in 2034, I wrote a letter back to myself today about AI. Fine. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Go for it. It's quite visionary, that, Will, I have to say. I'm very impressed.
I like that.
That's
very cool.
Well, it's longish and it's slightly political, but maybe we don't tackle that just yet. But I've done that, and I thought maybe I could read that out, a letter to myself.
Just tackle it, mate. Just tackle it. Just go for it.
Are you sure? Okay.
I can always edit it. If I don't like it, I'll just delete it. So, you know.
Well, there you go. A letter to Will 10 years ago. In April 2034, I took the time to sit down and pen this letter to you, me, 10 years ago, to tell you what happened around what was coined as AI back in 2024. In 2024, the term AI was thrown around as though artificial intelligence had been created, and what we were seeing all those years ago was a computer thinking for itself. It was a true AI, and by definition, it essentially meant that in 2024, if we sat with the best AI model available to conduct a Turing test, we would not be able to distinguish whether it was a human or a machine. But in essence, what that technology was at the time was us fed back to us. It was the development of our ability to harvest efficiency and efficiently mine enormous amounts of data to apply computation that would provide an answer or output. In 2024, if all someone did was read 24 hours a day their entire life, they would consume 8 billion words. At the same time, the most advanced AI consumed 8 trillion words in a single month of training. The ability to fully utilize data became increasingly important to daily life, and in the years ahead, this technology allowed us to predict outcomes within real estate and beyond. What a house would sell for, who was going to be the successful bidder in an auction, the probability of a vendor listing their property in the next 30 days if a tenant was going to fall into arrears. AI became AGI, artificial general intelligence, and it developed into an everyday tool that could support businesses in our personal lives. In a sense, our ability to use data by humans over the years became our digital companion. It became infinitely knowledgeable and factually accurate and reliable. But as the AI model developed and became increasingly powerful and became part of our everyday life, it also became a tool that some people looked to exploit. AI, as it was coined at the time, was after all humans fed back to humans, and the output was ultimately determined by the input. The model was flawed due to a bias, and it became increasingly politicized and controlled by big tech. They ultimately determined what was fact or fiction. Different views or perspectives on the past were censored and removed. We also became to realize that the vast majority of data and inputs, albeit controlled, did in fact come from the biggest users of tech since the inception of computers in the 1960s. Our worldviews were vastly skewed based on white European males from the Western world. The control of data threatened the very heart of democracy and our ability to think and formulate our opinions based on a wide variety of perspectives. Our perception of reality was getting lost. By the end of the decade in 2030, we could see history repeating itself once again, as it had done in previous lost civilizations such as the Egyptians. Our history once again was getting lost, and in time, once again, our ancestors would not be able to understand how we built structures or technology. Things really changed when we developed AQ, actionable quotations. This is the ability for AI to get stuff done in the digital world. In the real estate sector, specifically property management, it had created the ability to use AQ to effectively manage properties. Actions, daily tasks based on requirements or circumstances that came up within a tenancy were dealt with seamlessly and quickly. Communication, preference, culture, language, and history in the property was all determined. Arrears was underwritten by an agency based on comprehensive real-time risk assessments of tenants to mitigate exposure. Control of power consumption for properties under management to save energy and for money and money for tenants happened automatically. We could harness the power of the portfolio and create a fully net zero business where energy used from solar power ran our businesses, ran our cars. As at today, in April 2034, our greatest accomplishment from AI is now our ability to run off fusion energy, which is clean, without waste, and an endless supply of fuel.
There's a lot to digest. And it's very good, Will. You've obviously given that a huge amount of thought. First of all, I mean, my comments, I mean, the real test of AI in 2024 is going to be the US election. But we're here to talk about property management. And there's some of the stuff that you said there. I mean, just look, and this is ironic that we're having this discussion now, but 45 minutes ago, we had a demo from an Australian company who's using AI through social media, whatever. And what they're doing, they've got these bots which are making the prospecting calls. And you're listening to it, and it's just unbelievable that, you know, they sound like European, a little bit too American, maybe. So you can tell, but you can see we're not far away. And you can see the conversation which is being had by a human and this bot around a prospecting. And I'm sat there and just, I'm going, my God, this is just baffling. And I'm thinking about how this would work with a company like Tappy in reporting of maintenance.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think I got the same demo.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got the same demo.
Yeah. Does the company start with a W?
No.
Earlier this week, we had a demo from a similar company, and the call recordings, you're literally, it's an AI voice, but indistinguishable from a human.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
Mind blowing.
They can mimic human, like your own voice now, though, as well, can't they? Like, there was that senator in America that got caught out when his son, like he thought it was his son and it wasn't, it was AI. And it was a perfect match.
Yep. It's indistinguishable. You can even choose accents that this AI will speak in. So it'll be English, but you can choose like a nationality accent. So if you wanted, let's say, an English or a South African or Canadian accent, you could choose that specifically. Amazing.
What's this going to do to trust?
Yeah.
Because this is an industry which is built
around trust.
We've got the data. We're using the data. We're starting to learn finally to use data. But if all of a sudden you're falling up as a tenant and you've got no hot water or whatever it may be, are you talking to a property manager or are you talking to a bot?
Yeah.
I mean,
does it really matter though, Dave, for those minor things?
No, it doesn't.
I mean, if you're signing up new business or you're like a sensitive issue with an owner, yes, definitely probably a human. But like you say, for inbound calls, I'd have an AI answer that all day. And then, once you realize, oh, shit, this has got to, oh, can we swear on this? Can't remember. Once you realize it's got to talk to a proper person, maybe it transfers to an actual person.
So
dip your toe in, Dave.
Okay. So listen, no, I'm. I'm on board with all of this because I can see the efficiencies that we fail at in this industry.
You could
have all 100 property managers like what we have trying to drive consistency. And the other thing that the business owners want, they want to be able to see property managers manage more properties.
Yeah.
The cap that what they can cope with at the moment, where this as a tool could just release all that unnecessary admin-based repetitive work,
I reckon that's the like I said at the start. I really want to find out where this will work, and I think the best thing about our industry is process-driven, and that's where you can, without too much effort, predict. What percentage of the portfolios haven't had rent reviews? Significant. And that's just like the simplest thing in the world. I mean, 12 months, boom, happens. That kind of stuff. Like, and you're taking out that, and it's the not done probably because of emotion. You're too close. I remember the conversation in Westport, David, at Property Brokers, and they couldn't do all the rent reviews there because they were just all too close to them, sort of thing. Yeah. And that's where I reckon it could really work well, is just all those process-driven tasks.
Yeah.
Rent review is fantastic idea.
I mean, it's amazing you talk about that, Will. I mean, I'm not going to go into RIP or whatever, but we did we've got this dashboard now using Power BI, and we've got 7 databases merging into one, and you can filter it by rent reviews and when the last rent increase was. And it's mind-blowing in terms
that's incredible.
That you can see, oh my god, and that becomes a real focus, because this is what happens when you get, oh, you're just driven by property numbers. It should be about property numbers. It should be about the return and how effectively you're managing the property. Now I see that Palace have just launched their automated rent arrays. We've been having a little play around with it. It's not perfect by any stretch. And we've got some feedback to give to them. But I think automated rent reviews is automated. I mean, Tappy already does it to a degree with insurance, where it sends out your insurance is up for renewal.
Mm.
There's so much smoke alarms. There's so much that artificial intelligence and automation, because it's kind of, I'm not blurring the lines here, it's kind of similar things. And your computers start to realize and recognize there's so much it can tap into, because we collect so much data. I mean, well, I don't know how many properties you've got under management. I know what we've got, and you can calculate there's over 500,000 financial transactions a year. Yeah, with that data.
What do you do with it? I mean, you start, I mean, the ultimate, in my opinion, is predicting outcomes. And, and you know, not, like, for example, the based on people's habits on social media or looking on Trade Me or all that available data or whatever, knowing that they're going to sell or knowing that they're going to go into rent arrears or something, you know, you can predict that kind of stuff. I reckon that's ultimately what hopefully you could do. But what are you saying at Renty, Drake? I mean, like, you know, Tom and all those guys, they've got great minds. What do you guys reckon?
Yeah, I'm lucky I work with a bunch of geniuses. We did a little bit of a deep dive, Tom and I, on Friday, talking about this, because I said, you know, talk to you three about AI. And I think there's a bunch of different cool ideas that we came up with. But I think the one that hasn't been done yet, and we just sort of grazed it, but we didn't really touch on it there, was actually getting the listing price right. So being able to ingest all of the other listings in a given area, and going, this is fair market rate, and then being able to sort of set a tolerance with your owner and say, hey, you know, we could rent it in 24 hours if we put it at this price, or we could potentially rent it in a week if we put it at a price that's, you know, a bit higher, or maybe your tolerance is 3 weeks because you've done the math and you've thought, you know, I'm ready to sit and wait for the right tenant to come along, you know, at a much higher rate, right? And being able to sort of, I guess, balance those two sliding scales to the penny is something that AI would be incredibly capable of. And that, you know, there you go. The straight on after that is your rent reviews and making sure that you're staying, you know, within that fair market rate. AI is an incredibly powerful new tool, and it's going to change everyone's lives, whether they like it or not, immeasurably. You know,
Ali, can I ask you a question?
You may.
Can you see a day where property managers are not actually doing rent reviews and it's just?
Oh like, yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, I'd hope before I step out of this industry, all of my team are property advisors, and we're not doing any of this stuff. We're not doing arrears. We're not doing inspections. Yeah. You know, we're helping people build portfolios, but then that does beg the question, like, how many people do you need doing that in a business? You know, is it going to see a massive reduction in the number of workers, potentially, you know, feet on the ground in our industry, because it's going to become more of a desk-based role potentially, you know, with smart cameras and everything. I mean, we all use Inspection Express, I think, and there's the option to allow the tenant to do the inspection. We don't use that, but I can definitely see that becoming the norm down the track. I think, you know, things like that, using artificial intelligence to make sure the tenant's not, I don't know, hiding something or
going around the hole in the wall. How come you don't use it now?
To me, if I'm a landlord, I'm going, well, I'm paying a property manager to inspect my house. So I'd be annoyed if I was an owner right now, because what am I paying you for? How do you know they're not hiding a bunch of weed plants in the wardrobe? You know?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be too bothered.
I mean,
about
it's different once you've established the relationship with the tenant. They've been in there a couple of years. You know, that's a slightly different story.
You've got to have a qualification process.
Fresh tenant, you know?
Yeah. It's like Uber, the, you know, the rating system.
Yeah, yeah.
Some sort of concept. Yeah. You just got to build up to be 4.7 or above to be able to do your own inspections. I don't know.
Yeah.
Bill, can I ask you a question about your letter when you mentioned about heading to a net zero?
Yeah.
And you know, we're kind of exploring an exercise at PB around reducing emissions of the portfolio that we manage. And there's some things that you touched on which just pricked up my ears straight away.
Mm.
How do you see artificial intelligence reducing emissions?
I think it's around the concept of smart homes. And, you know, there's so much going on in that space. And we all know Brendan from Tether, and I think being able to efficiently manage energy consumption within properties, you know, when to use power and when not to use power, you know, the cost goes up and down through the day. But also, like this industry, I think everything seems to come together when you consider volume. And one property on its own with the solar panels on the roof does one property. But if you pull together all of those properties, then you've got that critical mass and that scale potentially to, you know, I would say create more power than what is actually needed. And then that could be fed back into running a business or to charging the cars or to paying owners dividends. I mean, join our portfolio because you get power dividends when we sell back to the grid or something like that. But it's being smarter about their energy consumed in properties and bringing them together. And how you do that, I don't know. But
so, let's just have it as a scenario here. Let's say if KO, Kangaroa, decided that they were going to put solar panels on every on their 60,000 properties.
Good idea. Yep.
They will probably generate enough power to run. I mean, the only thing with solar, it's, you know, but you could sell that power back to the grid.
Yep.
And it would finance itself. And then you've got all these state tenants who haven't got a power bill.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, you should be in Parliament.
Exactly. And it's you know, it's just the smarts behind the scene, making sure that all the ICP numbers match up or whatever, and, you know, all that kind of thing. I think, like I say, I think the scale that we have with these businesses, I mean, you know, 8,000 properties around New Zealand, property brokers has, you've got the scale, but you've also got all the orientation and the different areas and the Hawke's Bays and the other areas and the Canterbury's and the, you know, it's that's, I think, where you could start creating just different, I don't know.
This definitely head towards net zero. So this job's got to look very different in 10 years' time. Is basically,
yeah, you are, it is. I don't think like people are always going, oh, you know, running the risk of losing jobs. I mean, when the computers first came out in the late 80s or whatever it was, look, think about the industry that was has created. And the same thing will happen. What will probably change is the type of person that we employ. You know, that the skill sets that we will look for in 10 years' time will be probably quite different to what we look for now. You're looking for attention to detail, sort of strong administration, that kind of stuff. I think that will probably change. I don't know to what, but that's what I see.
I think any sort of role, really, where you can give someone a set of instructions and they've got to follow it, it's going to be, you know, put into AI, like a lot of admin gigs, a lot of things around finance. I just saw, like, over in Australia, Burger King have just replaced a lot of their drive-throughs with AI. Like, you're not talking to a person anymore. So a lot of that low-level jobs are all going to disappear, and then it's just going to slowly work its way up the chain.
Drake, can I ask about connections? Because, I mean, you it's quite a manual process, what you can see there. I mean, is this something that's going to appear in connections? Do you feel at some point where a bot is making the call to the person moving into the property? You know, or is it just going to be, will we go beyond that? Will it just be completely automated, full stop?
Yeah. Come on, my friend.
No, I think you're right. I think what we'll see probably first, before any AIs make any calls, we'll see the ability for a moving tenant to check all the deals and sort of have some deals maybe suggested to them that are going to be most advantageous. I think you'll see that first. I mean, we're always looking at new technologies to bring on, whether that's on the connection side or in, you know, the rest of the business. It's really interesting. We've been having AI pitched to us probably more than we used to, but it's not something that's sort of new to us. And I guess I was talking to Tom about it, and I guess when something like this comes along, new fancy tool, it's easy to think of it as a hammer, and every single problem that you've got in front of you is a nail, you know. But you really do have to vet sort of what actual value this is going to bring to that specific problem before you go investing in it and before you go and fixing the whole world and building, you know, everything's AI. I'm absolutely, you know, in favor of AI, and I think it'll probably enrich all of our lives more than we think at this point. And I think it's quite easy to think about it in a negative connotation of it's going to replace jobs or it's going to do this. I actually think that the future of property management is all going to be relationship based, and the property managers are going to have far more time to really spend talking through results with their owners and making sure their tenants are okay. And you're going to see this sort of almost account manager like property manager really sort of blossom, you know. And I think looking at the industry now, I'm quite positive about that. I think all of the, I'm lucky I get a lot of airtime with property managers, probably more than most people in the country. And the ones that really love the industry and are in it for the right reasons are the ones that absolutely just love people and love, you know, dealing with that side of property management. And that's what I'm really excited for, because they're definitely going to have more time for that.
Is it going to impact how, you know, businesses actually run? What I mean by that, are we going to see a consolidation of the industry, the people who've got the big data, overpower the ones with smaller companies? I'm not saying that we'll get rid of entirely of small companies, because there's always going to be that room for that boutique service. But I just sense that, you know, bigger companies are going to have, and I'm not blowing property brokers or Bailey's trumpet here, it's just an observation. The smaller companies have got to pivot.
I think there's some of that. But I also think that the smaller companies now are going to have the ability to access layers of information and layers of computing that they haven't had access to before, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really incredible. I think what we're seeing is the birth of another internet, really. I mean, that's how big AI is going to be for the world, right? There's no question in my mind that this will be just the same as the birth of the internet, right? And that was all about giving sort of everyone in their home access to, you know, the Wikipedias and the Googles of the internet, you know, information at their fingertips. And AI is just a much, much, much better version of that, where you're going to be able to ask it things and get, you know, results back that you never would have been able to before. So I think the big companies right at this very second probably have a leg up, but I think as it starts to percolate and, you know, the smaller companies start to get access to tools, even, you know, if you look at like the Tappy chatbot, right? Like that's a pretty cool tool that allows, you know, a tenant to ask it things that, you know, it would normally have to call a property manager for, right? Like that's just a really easy example of something that, you know, is quite simple, but you can extrapolate that out to something quite a bit better and bigger, right?
What do you reckon people that are right at the coalface of AI are asking to pause? And you know, they're raising lots of red flags and concerns. And I mean, I touched upon it in my letter. I have my opinions on that. But why? I mean, what do you see are the risks?
Oh, there's certainly risks. Massive steps forward never come without risks, right? You know, maybe it's because I'm in tech that I'm feeling quite positive about it. I think that it's absolutely going to have its downfalls and its negatives, but I think that the general gist is going to be positive. I think that the people at the coalface are probably having a bit of a oh shit moment. Harrison said we're allowed to swear, right? You know, where they're going, oh my God, this is changing really quickly, and this is getting better very, very fast. You know,
it could be to the point, Jake, what I think, where you're not sure who you're talking to on the phone.
Yeah. You've almost got to get the legal framework right before you go any further, you know?
That element of the trust. Am I actually dealing with a human? Who am I talking to here?
Well, wasn't there some AI image generators holding off till after the US election before they launch public, because you'll just be able to make Trump doing anything?
I mean, some of those are amazing, right? I mean, that stuff has already started with different sort of avenues, right? So I'm not sure, are you guys familiar with Zuru Toys at all?
Oh, yeah. So
there's a big New Zealand toy company Zuru Toys. And just recently, it's probably about within the last few, maybe 3 or 4 months, there was an AI call that was a scam from one of co-founders to the other co-founder. I might be butchering this, but the story is very similar. Yeah. And it was an AI call basically to the other co-founder saying, hey, I need you to transfer a large sum of money to this bank account right away. We're behind on this bill or whatever. I can't remember what the reason is. And yeah, she almost did it. It made the news. You can definitely look that up. But those are the kinds of things like you were talking about with trust. How do we build something in that
you trust a phone call, eh?
Is this the right? And it was obviously, it was this that
there's going to have to be some new type of authenticator, something come out to prove that you're talking to the real person. That's the next product that's got to come out, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like your 2FA before when you're having a chat.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly going to impact property management, isn't it? It's going to impact all industries. It's going to impact property management. When Will was talking, I actually thought to myself, this could change insurance. You'll have a tailored insurance based on the risk of the tenant because you'll be able to predict, you know, how challenging the tenant could be.
Then you go into an interesting thought experiment around discrimination. And the European Union is forming these criteria or rules for AI. I think we talked about it last year, but because very quickly, that is discrimination, isn't it? I mean, you could potentially go, well, the probability of this person falling into arrears is high, therefore we aren't doing it. We can't, you know, do you know what I mean? Like it's it's interesting, you know, it really does open up all those questions. There's that guy from Google that created, I forget the name of it, the AI model, and he went public. He's a funny looking guy, and he got to the point where he thought by turning it off was murder.
Yeah.
And like, you know, this is a very intelligent person. And yeah, that was it. He was like, this is an actual thing, a living thing.
And I said, are we
AI takeover?
Are we going to ask Will Alexander to come up with another topic? Because to start a new series with such I mean, I'm going to drive to Hawke's Bay now, and I'm going to be shitting myself driving there now, thinking that, you know.
Just let the artificial intelligence take over, Dave.
It's going to be an artificial intelligence takeover. The safest place to live will be Wairoa, because artificial intelligence will not get there.
I reckon there is something in that, mate. I think simple living is going to become more and more highly sought after and valuable.
Well,
you know,
I'll
like,
tell you what, yeah. I mean, I'm getting older. I'm in my 50s, whatever, but weekends, what do I want to do? I like the gardening. It's just, you know, I'm in my space. I'm with nature. I'm outside. I love it. I'm happy.
Yeah.
But there you go.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, we'll have to wrap up the show because we've probably just about gone over our time. But look, it's great to be back, boys. Drake, it's great for you.
It was awesome.
To join us. Thanks for, you know, supporting us in 2024 and with the conference. Tickets are available. We do have an early bird. We will be announcing the speaker lineup, and we'll talk about the speaker lineup probably in next week's podcast. But we've got our keynote speaker we have announced is Dave Latelli, the Butterbean, the brown Butterbean from South Auckland.
Epic.
So it's great to have him on board, and we've basically we're at 90% there with the speaker lineup. So really excited, boys. Thanks for joining us, and
been a great evening.
Hopefully, it's been a good evening. Good to be back, and we'll see you next week. And guys,
thanks for joining, Drake. Please,
just make sure that you like us, you give us a review, and send us some topics that you want us to talk about, and we'll fire them in. So cheers, guys. Matthew, we'll see you again next week.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.